Well, welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this sixth day of June 2026. Almost half the year has gone by. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those that are here in the room, and those that are listening to the recording. And glad to be in fellowship with you today. Have one announcement before we get into our service, and that one announcement is this next Sabbath will be the second Sabbath of the month, and that's when we ask for volunteers to lead out in our youth and adult Sabbath school. We also, the second Friday is coming up, and we also ask for volunteers to lead out in our Friday service. So we need two volunteers to lead out in next Sabbath services. I have one that has committed, and praise the Lord for them. And so I need one more to take either the Friday night or the Sabbath morning service. And if the Lord so impresses you, let me know, and I'll get everything arranged with you and for you on this next Sabbath. And again, I'll be there, right? There'll be other, your brother and sister that will be there to help you and to make the service flow smoothly. But most of all, Jesus will be there. And so everything will be okay if you step out in faith. Let the Lord use you, dear one. Develop your talent of being able to help others come to a greater knowledge of the truth. So if the Lord so impresses, please get in touch with me this week, and we'll get everything arranged. So that was the one announcement. Our opening song is titled, Jesus is All the World to Me. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me. My friend in trial sore, I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain, sunshine and rain, harvest of grain, he's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I am right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
Amen. Was there another one that would like to take a verse? Then please go right ahead.
Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, and trust us when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life, such a friend. Beautiful life, I've had no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
Amen. Can't say that enough. Jesus is my and your friend. And thank you, Savior. Well, dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Precious Father, we thank you so very much for thy great love, thy merciful kindness, thy tender regard to each one of your children. Thank you for making it possible for everyone on this earth to receive salvation if they will accept Jesus Christ as their God and King, their Savior and Redeemer, their best friend and High Priest. Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus, and we ask for your presence and the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be abiding guests with each listening heart. We also ask that you'll send your heavenly angels to minister unto each listener with the power to lift us away from ourselves and to lead us to look up. And we pray, dear Spirit, that you will be on hand to lead and guide us into all truth, to remove all distractions, all barriers, and to keep our focus on the truth as it is in Jesus. Please reprove and correct our understanding so that it will not hinder us from receiving the truth. And we pray that you will write the truth in our hearts and minds and bring it back to our memory when we need it most, especially when we need to study it for ourselves. We thank you, dear Spirit, for indeed helping and aiding us in this regard, because we want the plan of salvation made effectual in our hearts. We want to be saved. We do not want to be lost. So please open our hearts, our understanding, grant us heavenly eye salve that we may comprehend the truths that we'll be looking into today, especially about our Savior and his righteousness. And thank you so much for doing this tireless work in our behalf and indeed making it possible for the truth to take hold of us and become part of us. Thank you for helping us to become settled into the truth so that we can receive God's seal. And dear Father, we pray that you will raise up more laborers and send them into thy harvest field. We thank you and praise your name that Babylon is being emptied of precious souls and your kingdom is swelling with converted souls. And we thank you that we're a day closer to the end, a day closer to that final decision being made, and then probation can close and we can go home. Thank you for making this all possible. Thank you for being here in our midst. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And this is part four in our series, Becoming Righteous. And last Sabbath, we learned that justification, or being made righteous, is only for the forgiveness of all sins that we have already committed and confessed. So this means that justification is not like a blank check that covers our continued sinning, but justification is only good for our past sins that are confessed. So after being justified, we discovered that we now have access to the grace and strength of Christ necessary so that we can stand up and live a new life. And we saw that God offers all of those who have accepted Christ to become as newborn sons and daughters, and he gives them spiritual armor to put on, and this armor will enable them to retain this precious robe of righteousness that they receive from Christ, and to not allow the devil to strip it off of them. And this armor of God will enable us to resist all the wiles or temptations of the devil, so that we can remain standing and not back down in our fallen condition. So this revealed that we have to continue putting forth efforts in the strength and grace of Christ to fight against all of these evil things, all these wiles and temptations of the devil, whenever and wherever they may come against us. So then after we're standing in the armor of God and we're fending off all the fiery darts of the wicked, we then understood that we're to walk in the newness of life, that we're to walk in God's truth and his commandments. And we're to walk while we're continuing to resist all of the devil's efforts to try to get us back into our past life of sin. So God gives us his grace so that we could obey the truth through faith. So this revealed to us that grace is not given to us so that we can sit back and relax and do nothing, thinking that Christ is going to do it all for us. But grace is given to us so that we can, through faith, obey God unto salvation. So today we're going to be investigating more into this issue of our salvation being connected with receiving grace from God in order to obey him. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1445.htm. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1445. And if you look at quote number one. So we've learned that God's grace is given to us so that we can obey the truth through faith. So then with this correct understanding of grace, let's examine the passage that many use to supposedly prove that grace is only a free ticket to allow us into heaven without any works or efforts on our part being needed. Let's look at this proof text for that particular camp from Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 10. And you hath he, or God, quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among them also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is, what is? This grace, okay? It is, or this grace is, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this grace is a gift of God that cannot be purchased by any amount of works. He freely gives it to us. And why does God give us his grace? We learned in Romans 1:5, so that we can obey God. So grace is given to us so that we can obey God and thus reveal to the world that we're no longer the children of disobedience like we once were, but now we've become the children of God and we show forth the good works to prove it. And then listen to what Paul continues saying. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to just sit back down and relax? No. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we see that salvation is actually composed of two different areas. The first is justification and righteousness by faith without works. The next is remaining righteous and being sanctified through faith and works combined. So our salvation is not by faith only, but it's also through faith connected with works. Now, if you look at quote number two, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved in the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So our salvation is not just being justified by faith alone, but it also includes being sanctified. So then what does the word sanctification mean? Both the Hebrew and the Greek words for sanctification, or to sanctify or be sanctified, all translate and mean to purify or be purified. And that's from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Hebrew word number 6942, and Greek words number 37 and 38. So then, if you look at quote number three, how are we sanctified? In John 17, verse 19. And for their sakes, I, referring to Jesus, sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 to 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, in other words, his body, in sanctification and honor. So we are sanctified or purified through the Spirit by believing and using God's grace and strength to obey the truth that's found in His Word. And it is God's will that we go through this purification or sanctification process so that we will learn how to maintain ourselves in purity and honor. In other words, retaining our righteousness that we received at conversion. So Christ provides for us His robe of righteousness. That's justification. We then maintain this precious righteousness. We hold on to it throughout every aspect of each day. That is sanctification. And they both go together to provide salvation. So then, how long are we to follow the truth of God and keep ourselves pure in righteousness? Is it just the day of our conversion? No. We're to follow the truth and keep ourselves pure in God's grace and strength all the way until we either die in the Lord or Christ Himself comes. So you can see that this process of sanctification or purification doesn't occur all at once. It's continual throughout the life. It's always going on until we either die in the Lord or Christ comes. So our sanctification is not instantaneous. Justification can be instantaneous, but not sanctification. Because sanctification is a process that continues from day to day throughout the rest of our lifetime. So why did God arrange our salvation to include not just justification, but sanctification as well? What's the reason why? When you were justified and made righteous from your past sins, and they'd been mercifully forgiven, you still had the same old habits of sin that you developed. You still had the same character defects like you did before. You still had the same deficiencies of character that you formed for yourselves through all the years that you lived before you found Christ. So even though you're now justified and are standing perfect and righteous before God, your character is not yet formed after the character or the image of God. I hope you can understand why this second part of salvation, this process of sanctification, is absolutely necessary for your salvation. All of God's newborn sons and daughters must be purified from all their old sinful habits and defects of character. And this will occur day by day as they follow the truth, as they use the grace that God gave them to obey His will, thus living a life of righteousness. Not just being made righteous, but now living righteous. And since God desires you and me to be purified, then He just does not sit back and leave us all alone to follow His will by ourselves. But He is actively helping us to accomplish this work of sanctification before He comes back the second time. Isn't that wonderful? He just doesn't command us and then sit back and see if we obey. He's helping us to obey. If you look at quote number 4, from Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He is refining and purifying us. Continuing. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Not just an offering of themselves, but an offering in righteousness. So this is the purification process, but how's it to be accomplished in us? How is God going to purify us and wash us clean? And the answer is by the grace that he allows, that he gives us, that allows us to obey him through faith and to resist and deny our past old habits and deficiencies. The grace that he gave us in the beginning of our walk with him. From Titus 2, verses 11 to 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, what did Paul state that grace does in us, which brings salvation? Grace enables us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts so that we can live righteously and godly in this wicked world. So this shows us that Christ not only redeems us from our past sins, justification, but is working to purify or sanctify us as his peculiar people who are recognized by the good works that they do for his glory. Sanctification. So in this good fight of faith, we are being continually purified, continually sanctified as we use God's grace to deny our old habits of sin and defects of character and instead follow the truth and the will of God. So then in this righteousness through faith process, if we were to look at this process, it can be likened to the following example. Listen closely. Picture a woman in a rowboat. She has had a good time relaxing and floating downstream while enjoying the scenery that goes by and even taking a nap. But now the sun is going down and she has to get back to her docking port, which is now some ways upstream. So in order to get there, she must grab hold of her two oars and use them with whatever strength and energy is necessary to force her way against the downstream force and the pull of the current. If she does nothing, she'll continue floating downstream farther and farther away from her port until she eventually goes over the falls, drowns, and loses her life in the bottom of the lake. If she paddles with only one oar, then she goes around in circles while still floating downstream to die. So she has to use both oars together simultaneously in order to fight against the pull and force of the current while exerting enough energy to make headway against it and fight all the way up until she reaches her port and her safety, her home. And however long it takes her to reach her port depends on how much strength she exerts on both of the oars. So if you look at this in a symbolic way, these two oars represent faith and works in this process of sanctification. Using either one alone will accomplish nothing against the downward pull and force of sin and wickedness. So, in the process of sanctification, both faith and works must be combined together in order to make headway against the habits of sin and character defects that we've made for ourselves, and thus be able to safely make it into the harbor, the port of heaven. Using faith alone or using works alone will lead to destruction in the lake of fire. So first comes justification. That's by faith alone. No works will gain for us justification. But combined with justification is sanctification, which is a combination of faith and works together. So it's first righteousness by faith, and then it's righteousness through faith. But sadly, the devil has many people hoodwinked into believing that it's just faith alone or it's just works alone that will bring salvation. And so many will not ask for and they will not put forth efforts to walk in the goodly paths of truth. And others will not walk in or keep all of God's Ten Commandments. Some see that straight up or narrow path and they don't want any part of it. They want to go down the broad, wide road that leads to destruction and yet believe that they're still going to be saved. So then what are we to do with this process of sanctification? Grab hold of it or leave it alone? What does God want us to do? If you look at quote number 5, God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Well, that's good, right? And then he says in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, "Enter ye at the straight gate." In other words, walk there. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the path which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So we're not to stand by faith alone. We're to walk by faith. Well, to walk takes energy, exercise, works. So we're to follow God by faith. We're to keep his commandments by faith. We're to maintain righteousness by faith, not by sight. So what does all this mean? So it's a straight and narrow upward path that God asks every one of us who have become justified and righteous by faith to walk in by grace through faith. And we're not to allow sight to discourage us. Remember, we're to walk by faith, not by what we see or what we feel. But many will fail to do this. They will prefer instead to take the downward wide path that leads to destruction instead of the narrow upward path that leads to life. And why do so many prefer to take the downward broad path? Because it's so much easier to let the downward force of gravity pull you on your downward walk than it is to put forth the extra strength and effort to fight against this downward force and walk up, advance upward on the narrow path. It's much easier to let gravity pull you down than it is to fight against it and walk up. But Christ tells each one of his followers this. Look at quote number 6. In Luke 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, the Greek word for strive that's used here is agonizomai. And this word is where we get agonizing. This word translates and means to struggle, to contend with an adversary, to fight, to labor fervently, to strive. And that's Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Greek word number 75. So there are going to be many Christians who desire to enter in at this straight gate and narrow path. They desire to do God's will and keep his commandments. They desire to be saved and gain eternal life, but they will not put forth the efforts necessary to struggle and labor fervently in fighting against this adversary that's pulling them downward to destruction. They want to be saved, but they don't act in the way to be saved. And this adversary is the devil. And this downward force is the devil pulling us backward when God says for us to go forward. It's our fallen, sinful nature that the devil is using to drive us downward in sin. But God gives us his grace as the divine power necessary to drive us in the different direction, but never against our will. So many want to be saved, but they don't struggle and agonize against the devil in order to walk through that straight gate and advance upward as Christ wants them to. Now, if you look at quote number 7, in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the devil tries to capitalize upon our past habits of sin, our defects of character, and he works through these to pull us back as we're trying to walk forward in the newness of life and following Christ. And Christ wants us to resist these fleshly desires and attacks of the devil and force ourselves to walk upward after the Spirit through faith. Christ wants us to walk and advance in the truth, keeping God's commandments, and not go backward towards the evils of our past old life of the flesh. So you can see that it's a warfare, and this warfare is occurring in our heart. We don't want to follow God. And Christ says, follow me. We don't want to fight against our fallen, sinful nature. Christ says, fight against it and follow me. If we try to follow Christ while we're walking in the flesh, it's impossible. We have to walk a different way. We have to walk after the Spirit. We're told in Galatians 5, verses 16 to 17 and 19 to 25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That covers a whole range of things. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you do any of those things, you're going to be lost. You will do those things if you walk after the flesh. You won't do those things if you walk after the Spirit. You have the choice. Continuing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, no condemnation of the law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So if you're Christ's, then your emotions are crucified. Emotions to do wrong are crucified. Continuing. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So here's this process of sanctification. God gives us grace. He gives us His Spirit, the Spirit of grace. And the Spirit is urging us to crucify the desires of the flesh, and to then walk in, follow that upward, narrow path that leads to love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. There's no way that you can take one step on that upward path and immediately have all the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance that you need to be saved. There's no way. That first step is one of many. So it's a process to walk up that path to eternal life. It's the process of sanctification, learning how to love as God loves you, learning how to be joyful in His strength, learning how to have His peace in your heart, learning how to be long-suffering and gentle and good and meek. Learning how to have the faith necessary to move mountains. Learning how to be temperate in all things lawful. It's a process. And this process goes on every moment you have life. But what a joy it is to know that you're not alone in this process of sanctification. So then, how many victories over the evils of your past life in the flesh can you obtain as you crucify these past evils and instead walk and advance forward in the truth, keeping God's commandments? How many victories can you gain? You look at quote number 8. in Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. We walk by faith. All things are possible to overcome to those who believe. So then how many victories can you obtain over every evil in your life through faith? Victories over all kinds of evil. Not just the evils that you're weak in. You can even gain the victory over the great and powerful things of evil that you've fallen for again and again. If you will just walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. There's that condition there. Now, we've learned so far through this series on becoming righteous. We've seen just how much God and Christ has provided to help us in this fight against evil so that we can be saved. We've seen that all our confessed and forsaken sins are forgiven for free. We are given the precious robe of Christ's righteousness as a gift. We are freely accepted and embraced by God as being his real sons or daughters. We are provided without cost all the grace and divine strength in Christ necessary for us to stand and successfully fight against all evil. We've also seen that we're freely given all the armor necessary to successfully fend off every attack of the enemy. And we've even discovered that God prevents the devil from overwhelming us with too many attacks all at once so that we would not be able to overcome and would be defeated. So God prevents the devil from overwhelming us so that we through him can still gain the victory. So then, how much does God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit want you to be saved? Well, to put forth such heavenly efforts reveals a tremendous amount of love. So God the Father and Jesus Christ and even the Holy Spirit have provided everything necessary for you and me to be saved and not lost. And what's the ultimate reason why? So that you and I can be with them. And then together can enjoy the glories of heaven, all the pleasures of the new earth, as well as all the wondrous things that God has created throughout the entire unfallen universe for eternity. But as amazing as all this is, which has already been provided for free, there's more that God and Christ have provided us through this glorious plan of your salvation. There's even more. And next Sabbath, we'll discover what this is as we investigate further into this amazing plan of salvation that takes sinners and transforms them into righteous children of God through faith and grace. And it's astounding, dear ones. The Godhead loves us tremendously. And there's even more to that tremendous. We'll find that out next time. Our closing song is Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has called a joyful sound, the songs of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Self is laid in the dust. And Christ looks to us and says, come up higher, my child. I'll walk every step with you. Take my hand, and together we'll do things that seem impossible. Taking someone spotted and transforming them into spotless. Taking someone contaminated with the blood-stained red sin and washing them, making them clean, white as snow. It's possible, dear ones. It's possible through faith. And thank you, Savior, for making it possible. And please join with me for closing prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, what an amazing plan you've revealed to us in your word. And what an amazing plan you continue to manifest to us through thy Spirit. I pray, Father, that when we think that we can't go on anymore, may we look away from self and look on to Jesus and realize that in Jesus It's possible. Help us to realize we need the Savior in order to be saved. We need Jesus in order to live a better life, to become that new creature, to be born again. We need Jesus every step of the way. Without Him, we're lost. With Him, we can be saved. And thank you, Savior, for making it possible to save us. I pray, dear Spirit, that you will take these truths, fix them in our heart and mind, trouble us until we study them for ourselves, and grant us heavenly eyesalve to discern the richness and the value of the truth. Help us to see the uplifted Savior as never before. Help us to fall more and more in love with Him who loved us so much He died to save us. And help us fall more and more in love with our Father who developed a plan whereby we can be saved. Such amazing love. Help us to be enraptured by it. Help us to continue to behold such love so that we can be transformed into the same loving image. And thank you, dear Savior, for coming soon to take us home. What a joy it will be to be with you for eternity. Even so, come soon and help us to get ready. And dear Father, please encourage us by an extra outpouring of Thy Spirit to realize that when we've done our best and have gained the victory in Christ, there's another victory to be gained. There's continual growing in our Christian life. And what a joy it is to grow and increase in maturity and no longer be a child. Please be with us as we part. Bring us back together again soon. And help us to always keep looking to our Savior, from whence cometh our strength. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So next time we'll discover even more of what the heavenly Godhead are doing to provide for us salvation. Are there any thoughts, questions, comments, insights, dear ones, testimonies, any songs that you'd like to sing? And please go right ahead. Dear ones, thank you for your patience. We went over a little bit. And remember, we need one more volunteer to lead out in either the Friday night service next Friday or the Sabbath youth and adult service next Saturday. So if the Lord so impresses you, please get in contact with me, as we'd love to see what you and the Lord together can do in presenting the truth. So don't be fearful. You have other brothers and sisters here to help you, so you're not all alone up there, even though it may seem that. So take that step of faith, dear ones, and let God use you. My dear ones, as always,
keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.